Amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And this afternoon, we're going to continue our study through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 11, and we're going to actually be considering six verses this afternoon, verses 20 through 25. As you all know, every Sunday, we work through the New Testament, and presently we're going through Mark, and man, we've been so blessed, and we've been learning so much through the life and ministry of Jesus, and we're just going to continue that this afternoon here in Mark 11. We'll begin in verse 20, and we'll read all the way down to verse 25. And when you have it, you can let me know by saying amen, and we'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. Amen. Mark 11, let's begin in verse 20, and we'll read all the way to verse 25. This is what the Word of God says. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people says amen. Amen. By saying amen, you agree with me that truly this is the word of God. This afternoon, fam, I've titled my message, our study, simply prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. How many believe that this afternoon? Prayer changes things. Many years ago, five Christian college students were visiting the city of London there in England. And so one Sunday, because they were believers, they were Christians, they decided to go to church. And they actually decided to go and hear C.H. Spurgeon preach. They decided to visit his church, the Metropolitan Tabernacle there in London. Because in those days, everybody wanted to hear Spurgeon preach. He was the pastor of the biggest Protestant church at that time. And so when the students arrived at the church, the story goes that immediately a man received them at the door and greeted them. And then the man shared with the young college students if they wanted a tour of the church. He literally asked them, gentlemen, do you want me to give you a tour of the church? Do you want to see the furnace of the church? Do you want to see where all the fire and where all the heat of the church comes from? Do you want a tour? Do you want to see the furnace? And so immediately the students responded with a big smile on their face, yeah, absolutely. And so the man literally took these college students to the basement of the church. And there in the basement, they entered a room. And there in that room, there were 700 brothers and sisters kneeling on the floor in prayer before God. And the man pointed to the people praying, and he looked to the students and he said, this is the furnace of the church. This is where the fire comes from. This is what keeps this church hot and energized and focused, the prayers of the saints. Now, the story goes that after receiving a tour of the church by this gentleman, towards the end of the tour, the students asked the man, by any chance, is there any way we can meet the pastor, C.H. Spurgeon? We would love to have the opportunity to meet Spurgeon. The story goes that with a big smile on his face, The man responded, "Of course, I can make that happen." And then he extended his hand and he said, "Hello, nice to meet you. My name is C.H. Spurgeon." True story. This afternoon, we are going to talk about prayer, the power of prayer. In my opinion, in the life of a believer, the two most important things are the Word of God and prayer. A brother once said this, "What oxygen is to the body, prayer is to the spirit." In the same way, we cannot live physically without oxygen. We cannot live spiritually without prayer. Prayer is everything in the life of a Christian. Seeking the presence of God in prayer, spending time with God in prayer, it's everything in the Christian walk. In the words of the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon, "From there comes the fire. From there comes the strength. From there comes the energy, the power, the direction, the desire, and the courage to keep fighting the good fight." Everything comes from prayer. A very famous preacher once said that no Christian is greater than his prayer life. He literally said, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more." Nothing more. And so this afternoon, I want to talk about prayer. And to do that, we're going to examine this passage of Scripture here in Mark 11, verses 20 through 25, where Jesus gives his disciples instructions on prayer and the power of prayer. Jesus was always teaching his disciples about prayer, about the importance, about the power, about the necessity of prayer. And here we find a mini message, a mini sermon by the Lord on prayer. Now, quickly, let me just remind you where we're at in the Gospel of Mark. If you recall, we find ourselves in the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. We refer to this week as the Passion Week. Jesus has already dedicated approximately 3.5 years ministering all throughout the land of Israel. But when we come to Mark 11, we enter the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. And if you recall, it all began on Sunday, Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. We refer to the event as the triumphal entry. And then, if you recall, beginning in verse 12, there in Mark 11, we enter the next day, Monday, of Jesus' final week. And if you recall, it begins with Jesus cursing the fig tree. And then after that, and we looked at this last Sunday, after cursing the fig tree on Monday, Jesus goes to the temple and he cleanses the temple. Now, after cleansing the temple, look with me in verse 19 there in Mark 11. We read that evening came, and Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. And most likely, the idea there is after cleansing the temple and night passed, they left the city, they left Jerusalem, and most likely they went back to Bethany. Because in verse 11, we read that he stayed in Bethany. Now, after spending the night in Bethany, beginning in verse 20, we come to the next day, Tuesday. And in the morning, Jesus returns to Jerusalem from Bethany. It's about 3 miles journey. And on the way, as they're walking, they see the fig tree that he had cursed the day before withered away to its roots. And so in verse 20 and verse 21, if you look with me, when they see this fig tree, verse 21, Peter remembered what had happened. He remembered what happened the morning before. And so he tells Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you have cursed has withered. Now, Matthew words it a little differently, and Matthew actually gives us a little more detail, and he actually tells us that the idea there with Peter's comment is, wow, look what happened to the fig tree. How did that happen? How did that happen? Matthew says that they asked a question. How did the fig tree wither at once? And so the idea was that the disciples understood that a miracle took place, but there was still kind of some doubt in their heart, like, whoa, how did that happen? That is pretty amazing. How did the fig tree wither at once? Really, it was a question, according to Matthew. And so what we find in this text is using their question as an opportunity to teach, Jesus steps in and he begins to give them a message on the power of prayer. Kind of like they asked the question, how did this happen? And Jesus says, hey, you know what? Let me share with you how this happened. There's power in prayer. And if you pray by faith, more things will happen. And so Jesus takes this question as a springboard, uses it as a springboard to talk about prayer. And that's going to be our focus. That's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. Amen, fam. And so let's begin. And what I want to do is from our text, I want to share with you a few things that we see and learn about prayer according to Jesus. Got three things to nobody's surprise that I want to share with you. So let's begin. The first thing I want to share with you, and the first thing we see in our text, is the need of faith in prayer. The need of faith in prayer. And read with me verses 22 through 24 again. They're in Mark 11. This is what we read. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So let's pause right there. And so the first thing we see and learn from our text here about prayer is the need of faith in prayer. In other words, Jesus shares with us the importance of faith in prayer, the role of faith in prayer. According to Jesus, very, very easy to understand, when we pray, we have to pray in faith, by faith. In verse 20, if you look with me again, verse 22, I apologize. Jesus uses the expression, the words, that we have to have faith in God. Faith in God, and we have to believe and trust that what we've asked God in prayer, that God's going to respond. And God's going to answer according to his will, and we're going to receive the answer. Really, Jesus is telling us that faith is absolutely necessary in prayer. Trusting and believing, depending on God, that he's able to do the work. Now, it's important that we understand that as Jesus is sharing this with his disciples, as he's instructing them on the need of faith in prayer, it's important that we understand that the disciples, more than anything else, they struggled with their faith. And if you recall, and we've been looking at this really for the past 6 years, that in the Gospels, Jesus is always rebuking their little faith. We see that over and over and over again. He's always sharing with them, "Oh, ye of little faith." Always. He's always rebuking their little faith, and Jesus is always encouraging them and exhorting them and instructing them to have faith in God, to believe in God, to trust in God, to have faith in God. And so this is the idea. The disciples see what happened to the fig tree, and immediately they ask the question, how did this happen? And immediately, it's kind of like they're doubting. They're saying, whoa, how did that fig tree wither at once? That's impossible. How did that happen? How did that take place? And so in response of that, the first thing Jesus tells them is, hey, have faith in God. It's kind of like he's saying, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Hey, listen, prayer is powerful. And whatever you ask in prayer by faith, if you believe it, if you believe that God can do the work, you're going to receive. It's as if Jesus is telling them, hey, God honors faith and God works through faith. And when you pray, you must pray in faith. And notice verse 22 again, this is, in my opinion, the key verse of this section. Notice Jesus instructs them to have faith, but he tells them to have faith in God. Amen? You see that in your text? In other words, when you approach God in prayer, when you present your petitions to God in prayer, when you ask something in prayer, make sure your faith is in God, and not simply in your faith. In other words, don't have faith in faith, or don't have faith in yourself, or don't have faith in the words of the prayer, the repetition of the words, but have faith in God. In other words, when you pray, believe and trust that God can do a work. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Trust that nothing's impossible for God. And that's the idea there, that when you pray, focus on God. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on your situation. Don't even focus on the words of the prayer. Focus on the object of the prayer. Focus on God, because the danger is for us to think, okay, if I say the right words, if there's a formula or a repetition, then God's going to answer the prayer, or if I'm at this place or that place. But no, Jesus says, have faith in God, that God would be your focus, and when you're praying, understand that nothing's impossible for God. Trust in Him. Don't trust in where the prayer is offered, or don't even trust how the prayer is offered, so to say, but trust in whom the prayer is offered to. And really, that's the idea of praying in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus is not a formula. It's not a formula that if you follow, you know, the secret formula, you'll just get whatever you want. It's not magic. A lot of people think it's just like a magician's name, like abracadabra in Jesus' name. No, that's not the idea. But when you pray in the name of Jesus, the idea is that you're praying in the power, in the authority. You're praying according to the will of Jesus. You're believing and trusting that Jesus is able to do the work. You're believing and trusting that Jesus is greater, He's more powerful than this need. That's the idea. You're praying in the name of Jesus, with the authority, with the power, according to the will of Jesus. In other words, when you pray in the name of Jesus, your focus is on Jesus. Your trust is in Jesus. Your hope is in Jesus. Your dependency is in Jesus. Your faith is in Jesus. And literally you say, Lord, you have to do something in your name, Lord, for your name, Lord. For your glory, Lord, do something, Lord. I can't do it, Lord. It's too great. It's too powerful. It's too hard, Lord. You have to do something. And I pray in your name, Jesus. That's the idea of praying in the name of Jesus. It's having faith in God. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're having faith, not in yourself. Not in a pastor, not in a church or a location, but you're having faith in God. And that's the first thing the Lord teaches us about prayer. When you pray, pray by faith. Trust in God. Believe that God is able to do the work. And that's what the Lord tells us this afternoon. Have faith in God. That's what he's sharing with you. Have faith in God. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what's happening or not happening, regardless of how hard your situation is, Jesus tells us, have faith in God. Trust in the Lord that he's able to do the work. Have faith in God. Because the idea is he is able to do the work. And that's why the Lord is saying, have faith in God, because God is able. God is able to do the work. He is able to touch that heart. He is able to transform that life. He is able to open up that door or remove that obstacle. He's able to do the work. So that's why the Lord tells us, have faith in God. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your situation. Take your eyes off that person. Put your eyes on God. Have faith in God. When you pray, when you're interceding, when you're presenting your petitions to the Lord, have faith in God. Focus on God. Focus on God. Biggest mistake we make, fam, is oftentimes we focus on ourselves, right? Oh, I don't know if I could do this. Oh, Lord, me, 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 me. Stop saying me in your prayers. Start saying you, Lord. You do it, Lord. You touch the heart. You touch that life. You open up the door, Lord. You give me the grace, Lord. We need a lot less me's and a lot more you's in our prayers. And Jesus says, have faith in God. When you pray, when you present your petitions, have faith in God. Now, that's the first thing we learn about prayer, according to Jesus, the need of faith in prayer. The second thing I want to share with you is the power found in prayer. The power. Look at now verses 23 and 24. Jesus tells us, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The second thing now we see and learn from our text about prayer, fam, is the power found in prayer. According to Jesus, prayer is powerful. Prayer is a powerful instrument, a powerful tool in the hand of the believer. So powerful is prayer that Jesus tells his disciples, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, Jesus tells them, it will be done for him. I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Wow, that's a powerful declaration from the Lord on prayer. Now, the question is this. This is always the question that comes up in this text. How do we understand that verse? Jesus says that whatever we ask, as long as we believe, we're going to receive it. We can even tell a mountain to be moving, and the mountain will move. How should we understand it? Is that a blank check from Jesus? In other words, can we just say, Lord, give me a Corvette and a Lamborghini, Lord. I believe, I receive it. Do we get a Corvette? Do we get a Lamborghini? How do we understand that verse? Well, let me help you. That's why I'm here, to serve you. And let me explain to you what Jesus is doing. In these verses, Jesus, and he does this often in his ministry, he intentionally exaggerates to make a point. And Jesus is always doing that. We refer to it as hyperbole language. Let me give you an example. I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never eaten a whole horse. I don't even eat horses. But we've said that before. You've said that before. I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. What you just did is you just shared on hyperbole. You're intentionally exaggerating to make a point, and the point is you're hungry. That's the point. Or sometimes you say, you're driving me crazy. You're driving me up the wall. You've never walked up a wall. But you know, your parents used to tell you that, you know. And maybe you now say that to your children. I'm going to die, right? You're not going to die. That's a literary device without even you know, without even you paying attention in English class. You're using a literary device to make a point. You're exaggerating to make a point. That's what Jesus is doing here. He does that often in the Gospels. And so really what Jesus is doing is he's using this hyperbole to emphasize that, hey, prayer is powerful. That's what he wants you to understand. You're not going to move a mountain, okay? But that's not the idea. The idea is that, man, there's power in prayer. That God moves through prayer. That when you pray by faith, when you trust and believe in the Lord, when your confidence is in God, when your confidence is in the character of God, the will of God, the power of God, man, prayer is powerful. What can't prayer accomplish when you're praying focused on God, focused on the will of God, focused on the character of God, focused on the nature of God, focused on glorifying God? When all you want to do is glorify God through your prayers, it's as Jesus is saying, mountains are moved. Oh, Jesus is emphasizing the power found in prayer. That's all he's doing. He wants you to read that, and he wants you just to say, wow, did he really say that? Is that how powerful prayer is? Why ain't I praying more then? If that's the power of prayer, if mountains are moved, if hearts are touched, if lives are transformed, if doors are open, if pain is healed, if suffering is endured, why ain't I praying more? That's the response Jesus wants. He wants you to read that. He wants you to read this mountain being moved into the sea. And he wants you to say, wow, that's the power of prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is powerful. God honors faith, and God works through prayer. And that's the message. That's what Jesus is teaching us. God honors faith. God delights when you trust in him. God rejoices When you trust in him, when you don't try to do it on your own, when you don't say, I got this, but when you just trust in him, God honors that. And God works through prayer. God rejoices in answering your prayers. And that's the message here. And so Jesus is literally exhorting us, hey, have faith in God and ask him to do a work. That's really what the Lord is saying. Hey, have faith in God. Ask God. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop with the excuses. Have faith in God. Ask him to do a work. Ask him. It's as if Jesus is telling all of us, hey, what mountain do you need removed? What mountain in your life? When you think of a mountain, what do you think of? Think of something big, right? Think of something strong. You think of something immovable. You think of something in the way. You think of something hard. You think of something overwhelming. When you think of a mountain, you think of something that you can't remove on your own. And today Jesus says, what mountain? What mountain do you need to remove? What do you have in your life that's hard? What do you have in your life that's overwhelming? What do you have in your life that you can't fix? You're trying to fix it, but you can't fix him. You can't change her. And Jesus says, what mountain is it? What mountain can't you remove? Have faith in God. Ask him to remove it. It's literally what the Lord is saying here. Faith in God. Stop trying to move it on your own. And ask God to move it. Have faith in God. Ask God to do work. Because God honors faith. And God works through prayer. God honors faith, even small faith. Even if it's faith as big as a mustard seed. God honors faith. God sees the sincerity of your heart. And he honors it. And he works through prayer. And the Lord asks you this afternoon, What's your mountain? Stop complaining about it. Stop whining about it. But have faith in God. And ask God to remove it. Ask God to do the work. Because he can. How many would say amen to that? He can. He can do the work. God is able. Do so much more than we can ask, think of. And Jesus wants us to read this. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to say, wow, why don't I pray more? If this is the power found in prayer, if prayer changes things, if prayer removes mountains, if prayer transforms life, if God has chosen to work through prayer, why don't I pray more? There's so much power found in prayer. And God wants to use your prayers to fulfill his will here on earth. And so Jesus first talks about the need of faith in prayer. Hey, when you pray, man, get your eyes off yourself. Even get your eyes off the need and put your eyes on God. Faith in God. And then the second thing the Lord shares with us is the power found in prayer. Prayer is a powerful, powerful instrument. So powerful that it can remove mountains. It can remove needs. It can remove struggles. It can change lives and transform hearts. It's the power of prayer. And then the third thing the Lord teaches us, and we're actually going to end with this, but don't get too excited. We still got about a little while to go, though, okay? Some of you are saying, man, my prayer just got answered. And he's about to end. It's true. There's power in prayer. The third thing we see is the obstacles that can hinder prayer. Obstacles that can hinder prayer. Because now the Lord teaches us that hey, as you're praying, you got to be careful because there's things that can hinder your prayer. And look at what he says in verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. The third and final thing we see here concerning prayer from the Lord is the obstacle, and I would even say obstacles, that can hinder our prayers. And so Jesus instructs his disciples for the need of faith in prayer, the power found in prayer. Jesus really teaches us, hey, God honors faith and God works through prayer. So have faith in God and ask and keep on asking. But then, when the Lord gets to verse 25, it's almost as if the Lord switches the script and he tells his disciples, when you are praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, the question is, okay, what does that mean? How does that fit with the context of the text? Well, it's very easy to understand. What the Lord is teaching us here is that there are obstacles that can hinder the effectiveness of our prayers. That there are things, if we're not careful as we're praying, they can hinder the effectiveness, the power of our prayers. And let me explain. If you're praying to the Lord, and if you're presenting a petition to the Lord, like forgiveness, and in the context, that's the petition. You're praying, you're asking the Lord for forgiveness, you're presenting a petition to the Lord. If your heart is full of anger, hate, jealousy towards someone, it doesn't matter how long you pray for, that prayer is not going to be effective. That's literally what the Lord is teaching there. In other words, that anger in your heart, that hate in your heart, that jealousy in your heart is going to swallow up your prayer. It's going to keep you from receiving the answer from God. That's the idea there. There's things that can swallow up your prayers. There's things that can hinder the effectiveness, the power of your prayer. Things like anger, things like hate, things like discord with your wife or with your husband. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but Peter tells us something so interesting. And he literally says this, in chapter 3 are the instructions for marriage. And when he gets to the husband, he says, husbands, honor your wife as the weaker vessel in order that your prayers would not be hindered. What a text. Literally, he's saying, husbands, honor your wives, respect your wives, love your wives, because if not, your prayers are going to be hindered. If you mistreat your wife, if you disrespect your wife, if you're always yelling, if you're always angry at your wife, that's going to swallow up your prayers. And it goes both ways too, sisters. If you're always yelling at your husband or mad at your husband or bitter to your husband, that's swallowing up your prayers. They're in your heart, you have so much anger towards him, and then you're asking God change him. And God says, no, I want to change you first. I want to touch your heart first. That's why whenever I get in a little argument with my wife, I go say, Lord, touch my heart, Lord. Because I know my heart's the problem. At the end of the day, right? And I'm sure my wife would say, my heart's also, her heart's also the problem. And that's why Peter says, man, honor your wife so that your prayers wouldn't be hindered. In other words, he's saying, like Jesus, if you're not careful, there's things in your life that can swallow up your prayers. Things that are not going to help your prayer, but hurt your prayer life. Things like anger, things like hate, things like lust, things like jealousy. If your heart is filled with all these things, man, they're going to affect your prayers. Quickly, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Because really we see Jesus talking about this theme from the beginning of his ministry. Matthew chapter 5. Quickly, look with me there in verses 23 through 24. Matthew 5, verses 23 through 24. Remember, we're talking about obstacles that can hinder our prayers. There in Matthew 5, 23, 24, Jesus says this: if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, the idea is when you present yourself before the Lord, whether in prayer, whether in worship, whether in service, and if you know that someone has something against you, or in your heart, if you have something against someone, Jesus literally says, hey, stop what you're doing and go get reconciled first. Forgive, be restored, be reconciled, be at peace, and then offer your worship to the Lord. It's as if Jesus is telling us God is more concerned with the internal than the external. Listen, before you say the right things, first God wants your heart to be in the right place. Before you say the right things, right in prayer, before you kind of go through the routine and you start speaking like Shakespeare and all deep and all spiritual and using words that you've never used all your life, first God wants your heart to be in the right place. In other words, and I'm just going to use me as an example because I am the best example, it does me no good standing at the altar with my hands raised up, offering all kinds of prayers and all kinds of sweet words. It does me no good to do that if my heart is full of anger and hate and bitterness towards my fellow brother or sister. You see, God is more concerned with your heart than with your words. How we need to understand. Oh, if you can just get that today, I've done my job, man. I'm blessed. God is more concerned with your heart than with your words. And your words should simply be a reflection of your heart. But God wants your heart before anything else, before long prayers, before those spiritual messages on Facebook. God wants your heart. He wants it to be real. He wants you to have a pure heart. He wants you to serve him with all your heart. He doesn't want leaves. He wants fruit. That's what he wants from us, fam. Fruit. He wants internal reality, not external hypocrisy. And God's concerned with our heart. How's our heart? How's my heart this afternoon? How's my relationship with the Lord? What's in my heart? I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord to touch him and touch her and do this. But how's my heart before God? What's the intentions of my heart? Because Jesus tells us, hey, be careful. Because your heart, if it's not pure, if it's not right, your heart is going to swallow up your prayers. They'll hinder your prayers. Prayer is powerful. God works through prayer. God wants to do a work, but make sure nothing's holding back your prayers. In other words, the Lord is saying, hey, forgive that brother. Make peace with that sister. Love that husband. Love that wife. Examine your heart. Ask God to purify your heart. Ask God to heal your heart. Ask God to remove anything or anything that's dishonoring to him in your heart. Ask God to give you a new heart. Don't be bitter. Don't hate. Don't allow that poison to hinder your prayers. Remove all those things by the grace of God. Have God remove them so that your prayers can be free and effective. It's as if the Lord is saying, pure hearts produce powerful prayers. Pure hearts. That's what God's looking for. Pure hearts, fruitful hearts, internal reality. That's what God wants. Hearts that are full of love. Hearts that are full of grace, full of mercy. Hearts that are ready to serve. Humble hearts, not prideful hearts. You know, every time I stand up here, I always ask the Lord, check my heart, Lord, keep my heart humble, Lord, and soft, Lord. Because it's easy to stand up here and share big words and everybody applause and say, oh, good job. But where's my heart at? What's the motive? What's the intent of my heart? Because if it's not coming from a pure heart, it's pointless. It's pointless. God is looking for pure hearts. Pure hearts. You know, so often, and I end with this, you can come up, Joan. I want to be careful how I say this, but I just have to say it. So often, you know, people come to church, and they come with great needs. And I say, praise God for that. But unfortunately, sometimes they only come in order that God can meet their needs. But they don't come for God. In other words, God's Santa Claus. God is a genie in the bottle. And they come and they have all these needs. You know what? I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that. And sometimes, man, you just want to stop and say, but how's your heart though? How's your heart? Because that's the most important thing. How's your heart? First, God wants to touch your heart. God wants to change her. God wants to save you. That's the most important need you have. That's your heart. It's not about so much how much prayers you offer, but how's your heart before God? Is your heart pure, man? Are you serving God? I mean, you can come up, you can come to church, you can, you know, do that whole thing. You can have all, you know, my petitions, God help me with this and that, but are you serving God? That's the question. Before we pray for anything, how's your relationship with God? Because that sin in your life is going to swallow up those prayers. Going to swallow up those prayers. I remember once somebody, you know, AA, pray for me and my girl. We're going through problems. And I said, man, I would love to pray for you and your girl. But first, I'm going to pray that you would get married with her. Because you're living with her, and that's not honoring to God. That's not God's will. And I want God to bless you. I love you. I want God to bless you in your home. Get married. Honor God. But sometimes we have that mentality. It's like, Lord, help me with this and this and this. And the Lord is like, man, I'm down to do the work. But first, I want to save you. I want to touch your heart. I want to give you a new heart. I want to forgive you of your sins. I want to make you into a new creation. That's the first thing he wants to do. Before anything else, he wants to give you a new heart. Before anything else, your heart. A heart that loves him. A heart that is committed to him. A heart that is changed and transformed by his Spirit. And that must be your first petition. Those other needs, man, the Lord, he can meet. The Lord can do a work. The Lord is ready. The Lord is willing to help you. I promise you. I promise you. But first, the first step is that you would surrender your life to him. The first step is that you would just make that decision by the grace of God and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Take all of me. No more excuses, Lord. No more just external motions. No more leaves, Lord. I want to make it real, Lord. I want to make it real. Touch my heart through a work in my life. Remove these idols from my heart, Lord. Remove these sins that are keeping me, that are holding me back, that are swallowing up. I pray that are destroying my family, Lord. Do a work in my heart, Lord. That's the greatest need that we have. And the good news is, man, Jesus is ready to do that work. Jesus is a heart specialist. And he's ready to do surgery on your heart. And all he asks is that you would have faith in him. Ask him to do a work and just watch what he will do. But that's the power of prayer, fam. It all begins with prayer. It all ends with prayer. Prayer changes things. And as my mom used to always say, prayer changes people. And through a prayer today, God is ready even to change you. God bless you, fam. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we want to now apply. We want to now apply what we just learned, what we just studied. And now we want to take a few moments to pray, Lord. And Lord, as we now pray, we pray by faith, Lord. We pray in your name, Lord. Our focus is on you, God. Our focus is on you, Lord. We believe the message today, Lord. I believe it, Lord. I believe prayer is powerful. I believe prayer changes things and changes people. So, Lord, we pray. We take the time to pray. And we ask, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that are swallowing up our prayer life, we ask, Lord, that you would remove it. Oh, we ask, Lord, that you would remove any bitterness we might have for him or for her, any hate we might have for them. Any sin that might be choking up the spiritual life, any discord with a family member, husband or wife, Lord, anything or everything that's within us, that's swallowing up, that's hindering us in our prayer life, we ask that you would remove it, Lord. Do that work, Lord. Do that work, Lord. I even take the time to pray for anyone that have all these needs, but they also have the greatest need, salvation. Lord, I pray in your precious name that, Lord, even now you would touch their heart and help them to understand the first step is salvation. Help them to understand. Help them even now, Lord, open their eyes and help them to understand that you can do a work. All those other things are nothing. But the first work you want to do is in their hearts. You want to save them. You want to make them new creations. You want to give them a new life, forgiveness, salvation, redemption, justification. And that today is their opportunity. No more games. No more leaves. No more talking about it. No more just posting Facebook verses, but that it would be real. That it would be just real. That they would just settle it. No more excuses. that they would just settle it right now. And that they would say, Jesus, my life is yours. Take all of me. Touch my heart, Lord. Transform my life. Make me into the man. Make me into the woman that you have created me to be. Oh God, in Jesus' name, do that work, Lord. Open eyes. Transform hearts. We pray that, Lord. And Lord, we also commit any other need into your hands. Lord, there's brothers and sisters here that they're struggling in their marriage, Lord. Their marriage is just being attacked. And in Jesus' name, move that mountain, Lord. In Jesus' name, move that mountain. There's brothers and sisters here who have loved ones who are not saved. And they've been witnessing and they've been sharing and they've been inviting and there's been no response. Lord, in Jesus' name, move that mountain, Lord. Move that mountain in Jesus' name for your glory, Lord. Move that mountain. There's brothers and sisters here who have health issues, health problems, serious health problems in Jesus' name. Move that mountain, Lord. Move that mountain. There's people, there's brothers and sisters here, Lord, that are just struggling with sin. There's an addiction. There's a depression. There's an emotion that's controlling them, Lord. In Jesus' name, move the mountain, Lord. Move the mountain, Lord. We trust in you, Lord. We have faith in you, God. You're our God, and every eye is focused on you, Lord. Every heart is looking to you, Lord. Move that mountain. Move that mountain. Do that work. Would you pray that with me, fam? Just with your hands raised up, Lord. Lord, move this mountain. Whatever that mountain is in your life, whatever it is in your household, whatever it is in your marriage, Lord. Lord, move that mountain. Lord, move this mountain, Lord. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I'm lost without you, Lord. I'm weak. I'm fragile, Lord. I'm struggling, Lord. I want to give up, Lord. Move that mountain, Lord. Help me, Lord. Go before me, Lord. Fight this battle for me, Lord. Bring victory, Lord. Bring victory, Lord. I trust in you. I have faith in you, God. Move that mountain, Lord. Move that mountain. Move that mountain, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord. That you would move this mountain. You're bigger, Lord. You're stronger. You're greater, Lord. You're more powerful, Lord. Nothing is impossible for you. And all our prayer is that you would move this mountain. What if we